Our subject tonight is Hagar. We're going to turn to Genesis chapter 16, but we will first of all just refer back to chapter 12, Genesis chapter 12. Just to see where Hagar possibly came into the company of Abraham. Genesis 12 and verse 10, and there was a famine in the land, and Abram went down into Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was grievous in the land. And it came to pass, when he was come near to enter into Egypt, that he said unto Sarah his wife, Behold, now I know that thou art a fair woman to look upon. Therefore it shall come to pass, when the Egyptians shall see thee, that they shall say, This is his wife, and they will kill me, but they will save thee alive. Say, I pray thee, thou art my sister, that it may be well with me for thy sake, and thy soul shall live because of thee. Now down, we find in verse 16, he entreated Abraham well for his sake, and he had sheep and oxen and he asses and men servants and maid servants and she asses and camels. So Abram's down in Egypt just now, and he tells a half lie. It was just a half lie, because when we turn to Genesis chapter 20 and 12, the fact is Sarah says she is the daughter of my father, but not the daughter of my mother. So that's the reason why Abram was tempted to tell a half lie. But you know, I think it's far better, instead of telling a half lie, tell none at all. Be absolutely honest wherever we go. Just speak the truth. The truth will set you free. It will set everyone else free. There'll be no doubt about the pathway. Keep it clear. Keep it honest. And there's no regrets. Now, Abimelech was then afraid of Abram, and he loaded him up on his way back with so many goods, and I would think Hagar was one of the maid servants that were taken back into Abram's company. She is called Hagar the Egyptian handmaid, Hagar Sarah's maid, and the bondwoman. So they're the four names that come up for this Hagar. So 10 years she was with, we're just going to cover a 10-year period as she came into the company of Abram. You know, I think she was a very teachable girl. And she was a very observant girl. We don't read of anything that she said in those 10 years. But you think of all the experiences and the things that she would have witnessed. First of all, chapter 13, we would realize that she would have witnessed Lot separating from Abram. Hagar was aware of the need of right choices. Right choices are so important, because you know what? It is true. What we choose today will affect tomorrow. It's inevitable. We can't change that. Be careful the choice we make today, because it'll have tremendous ramifications tomorrow and in days to come. Choices are just you'd think at the time they're only an insignificant thing, but they have far, far reaching effects. And so that was the first thing that Hagar would have been really convinced about right choices. There was also, she would observe that there were communications from the God of heaven. She would understand that. With promises, and there were communications with God at the altar of Mamre. She would have just been an observer and say, really, this is something that I'm not used to. She was introduced to Abram that worshiped the God of heaven. He had respect for the God of heaven. He made intercession to the God of heaven. There was communication with the God of heaven. That's something that Hagar was not used to. See, they had the gods of Egypt. They worshipped the Nile. You see, all these gods of Egypt, when God judged the land and brought the Israelites out, not only he brought a tremendous deliverance for the people, but he also judged the gods of their land. First of all, the Nile was something that was, the river Nile was worshipped as a god. Therefore, it was turned to blood. The fish was another form in which they used to worship the fish. But then the fish died in the river. They worshipped the cattle god. The cattle died as well. They worshipped the sun god, and all of a sudden darkness came over all the land of Egypt. They worshipped also the frog god, which came into their ovens, so many frogs, kneading troughs, and jumped into bed with them. That'd be the last thing I'd want a frog company in bed. But here, see, God was just showing to these Israelites, these people from Egypt, that their gods were meaningless. They had not the power to save. And that's why the judgments included all the gods of Egypt. She also would have been, Hagar would have been aware of the victory over the four kings from Babylon, from the land of Shinar, who captured Lot. You see, she would have understood the preparation that this man Abram had. He had 318 trained servants that were brought up in his household. You think of it. 318 people he was able to draw upon to pursue those who took Lot. He was a man who had, he made preparation. He did not waste his time. He had preparation. And we need to search the scriptures, because there could come times when we are put to the test, and there could become times that we need to know what our Bible says to be able to just speak to those who do not believe the gospel. We need to be fully equipped by the word of God. Well, Abraham was equipped to chase these men and to recover his nephew, Lot. And you see, Hagar would have been absolutely convinced of the true amazing expertise of this man. Not only his knowledge of God, but his preparedness in emergency. She would have understood also that a blessing came from Melchizedek, king of Salem, the priest of the Most High God. Hebrews 11 tells us that Hagar would have observed that Abraham took no gift from the king of Sodom. The Lord was his reward and shield. Why would he take something from the king of Sodom? The Lord was the all-sufficient one. He would rely on him. He was not only his shield as his protector, but he was the provider for all that he needs. He did not need the king of Sodom to top up the bank account. God promised to do that. And so he was resting upon God. And this girl was just witnessing all these amazing things as she was with Abram for these first 10 years. She would have heard of the visions of God. I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. She would have known also about the promise of the land, the unconditional covenant. Chapter 15, the previous chapter. Chapter 15 tells us about that unconditional covenant, that it was God that passed through the parts. Abram had no part in it. It was God who passed through the parts. And also, Abram was told at that stage that the purpose of God would not be accomplished by the flesh. And that's the reason why Abram, he prevented the birds of prey to rest on those sacrifices that were laid apart when the horror of the Lord went between the parts. Abram would not allow the vultures and all the flesh-eating birds. He sent them away because the purposes of God were not going to be accomplished by the will of the flesh. It's an amazing thing, you know. This girl, she really had her eyes open. She was not used to this sort of thing. And you just imagine she would have had to learn the language and to just fit in. I think her character is amazing. When you think of a woman like this from another land, all of a sudden just brought into total difference, and she would have had a respect for the things of the Lord. Chapter 16 and verse 7, we have 10 years after. See, Hagar at this point became involved in a plan made by Sarah. This was not her plan. Hagar had nothing to do with the planning of what took place. And when Sarah found that the whole thing just kicked back and it made her feel despised, at that point she made it hard for Hagar. And Hagar just went away. I feel sorry for Hagar out in the desert there. But the angel of the Lord found her. Praise God, he pursues those that the most unlikely people. You see, we can often be choosy in relation to people and nations, and look, God loves us all. Don't look, I know at Lismore when we used to have a lot to do with the Aboriginal race and people call them all sorts of horrible names. Praise God that a lot of those children were saved in the Sunday school, and I personally have a love for those people. I can't help it. I've had so much to do with them, and it doesn't matter to me where they come from, whatever part of the world they come from. Preach the gospel to them. Love them with all your heart. Put your best into it. God will do the rest. So when she was out in this desert alone, verse 8 of chapter 16, the angel of the Lord found her by a fountain of water in the wilderness, by the fountain in the way to Shur. And he said, Hagar, Sarah's maid, where did you come from? And where are you going? Well, of course she knew where she came from, but she didn't know where she was going. The angel of the Lord then said to her, return to thy mistress and submit yourself under her hands. She was told that she was with child. Verse 12 tells us, he will be a wild man. His hand will be against every man, and every man's hand against him. And he shall dwell in the presence of all his brethren. Then came the time of Hagar's conversion. And she called the name of the Lord that spake unto her, Thou God seest me. For she said, Have I also here looked after him that sees me? Other translations make it clearer than the King James. It simply tells us, I see the God who sees me. See, this is what took place in the wilderness. She understood that God sees her. But she came to the point where she saw God. There was a coming together in the wilderness. And she had an experience with God on her own. She knew that God knew her. But then she said, I see the God who sees me. See, that is salvation. When there is an encounter with the great God of the universe. See, I'm getting to the point where this is the beginning of the Muslim race. We understand that, don't we? And this is the Ishmael is the first of the Arab race. I see things here that are happening right as we speak today. Ishmael means heard of God. That's the meaning of his name. And also, God is revealing himself to Muslims in an amazing way. I can tell you now, I've heard so many podcasts from so many people for so long. There are thousands and thousands of people from Iran, Saudi Arabia, Pakistan, Cairo, and they are just turning to Christianity. And it comes with an awful cost. These people are, in fact, there's a lot of secret disciples among them too, because they know the cost, and they just can't cope with it. That's their problem. But those who have been brought out, and the miracles that God is seeing, and even when he reveals himself to them in a dream, just like he revealed himself to Hagar this day. Hagar, Sarah's maid, and the Lord, they hear the voice, and they see this image of the man in white coming to them. They see the thorn wounds in his hands. They know who it is. And then the Lord mentions their very name, just like he did here to Hagar. Then we reach the point that he heard Ishmael. Now, we don't read what Ishmael even said. He must have said something. Because when the Lord revealed himself to Hagar, he said, I have heard, that's the meaning of his very name, I have heard the voice of Ishmael, your son. And you see, this was just an amazing point, the experience in Hagar's life. See, we must remember that Ishmael was 19 at this point when she came back again. And here we find that she put him under a bush. She didn't want to see him die. She just walked away. Then the Lord said, come and take him up again. And many years ago, I thought she lifted him up. You'd be going to tell him to lift a 19-year-old boy up, a mother, I reckon she would. I would say she put forth her hand and pulled him up from under the shrub or the tree. And at that point, they saw the well. And so he was a turning point. God heard the cry of this woman. God heard the cry also of Ishmael. And so she called the fountain in the way to Shur, was called by Hagar Beer Leo Roi, the well of the living God that sees me. So this is in contrast with the gods of Egypt. And so this Egyptian girl, she realized that her faith was in the living God. See, Abram was 86 when Ishmael was born, and he was 100 when Isaac was born. So there was an age difference there. And so then in verse chapter 21, 15, Hagar and Ishmael, now 19 years old, sent away. In Isaac shall thy seed be called. That's what Sarah said. And so this is after the birth of Isaac. And of course, that is the purpose of God, because the purpose of God was that the coming in to the Saviour was through the Israelites, those in Israel. It wasn't coming through the Arab country. And so this is the story of an amazing story, and we are seeing, we're looking at the very beginning of the Arab race tonight. But now that it's gone on centuries and centuries and millenniums, and here we have the people that this verse, this chapter speaks of. They are turning to God, and many people just say, God, I don't know where you are, but I'm calling to you. And God hears that call. God shall hear. That's the meaning of Ishmael. You see, this race still is the son. These are the sons of Abraham. Not the seed that would bring Christ into the world. We're not saying that. But they can claim that they are the sons of Abraham. We can't take that from them. And when we think of all the things that are happening, no wonder Jeremiah 47 says, I will make my throne in Elam. That's Iran, you know. That's the Iran that we know it today. God will make his throne in Elam. And we think of the things from in Persia that are happening today, the extension of the Persian Gulf, that's going to be the biggest transportation sea route instead of the Suez Canal. They have almost completed the extension. You know, when I was younger, I wondered how ever, because Babylon is in Iraq, and how they would stand on their ships and see the fall of Babylon. How could they do that? It was so far away from the water. But I can see it now, because that extension has come right up to Iraq. And they will, yes, they will stand on the decks of their ship and see the smoke arising from Babylon in Iraq. It's going to happen. If God has said it, let's believe it, because it will surely happen, even though we may not understand how. And so you think of the highway that's being built at present as well, from Egypt straight right up to Jerusalem. Another highway is coming from Assyria, from the Persians, straight across to Jerusalem as well. See, there are things happening right under our nose today that God is working to a perfect plan. I remember when I was over in Israel, I went to a man's house in Nazareth. Actually, we went from Mary's well and wandered up the hill, such a steep. Anyway, we got to his house. He took us into the lounge room and he said, "This is where we have the breaking of bread. We have bread, we have wine on the table in the middle, and there's Jews and there's Arabs, and we all meet around this table." I thought, isn't that wonderful? Then he said, of all the ramifications and the decisions and the cost and the plans and everything to try and bring the Arabs and the Israelites together, there's one person in the universe that can do it, and that is Christ. So when we think of Isaiah 19 as well, blessed be Egypt, my people, and Assyria, the work of my hands. So it's talking about Egypt and over in Persia, Assyria, and Israel, my inheritance. You think of those major countries with roads leading to Jerusalem, from Assyria to Jerusalem, right as we speak, and the highway coming from Egypt to Jerusalem as well. And there's another road under construction from Jordan, probably Amman, straight across to Babylon, instead of going through the Suez Canal. God is working in that area, and so many people coming to faith in Christ. And God is at work. Don't disbelieve. It's not in our mind to work it out. We couldn't possibly. But God is working to a perfect plan. Now, what about Hagar? And with this, I'll finish. So Hagar was sent away from Abram's household. But wait. The Lord himself said in Luke 13 and 28, "They shall come from the east and west and the north and the south, and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven." And I believe Hagar will be one of them. We'll just close in prayer.